How do you feel about giving tithes and offerings to the Lord? Now, I know when we start talking about the subject of giving, sometimes people get a little bit sensitive about this. So why is it that you think that that this is a subject that offends some people? Listen, grab your Bible. Come on back. We're going to be looking at giving for the tabernacle out of the book of Exodus, chapter 35. I'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome back to the Wednesday evening Bible study of Central Baptist Church. We're so glad that you're joining us. I mentioned just a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Exodus, chapter 35. Exodus is the second book in the Bible of the Old, it's the Old Testament. So you got Genesis, then Exodus. We're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 35, and we're going to be looking at about 30-31 verses today. So just bear with me, but I think this really explains a lot when it comes down to giving, what it was that God asked the people to do in regard to the tabernacle in the days of the Old Testament. Now, a minute ago, I asked you how you personally felt about giving tithes and offerings to the Lord. Now, I've mentioned before that when this subject comes up, there's a lot of people who get upset. There's some sensitivities that people have in these particular areas. And I hope and pray that you're not one of those people. I hope that you will be able to look at these verses and understand what it is that the Lord wants us to do, because he's given us a command with the tithes. Now, I also want you to pay careful attention to something. If you're part of our church family that attends Central Baptist, one of the things that you've heard us use is that expression before, the tithes and offerings. You know, we're about to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering. Now, there's a difference between those two. There's a difference between a tithe and an offering. And hopefully you'll have a little bit better understanding of what that is today. But they are two different things. Keep that in mind. And sometimes people get sensitive about this because when it comes to money, sometimes it could be a guilty conscience. It could be the fact that maybe they don't like the fact that they're giving to something that maybe is they don't feel that they can see tangibly. But whatever it is, the Lord has given us some commands. Let's look at some of the commands that he gave folks in the days of the Old Testament, particularly Exodus chapter 35. We're going to begin reading at verse 4. Exodus chapter 35, and we're going to begin reading at verse 4. It says, "And Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord, whatever is, whoever is of a willing heart, let him give it as an offering to the Lord: gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. Verse 10, all who are gifted artisans among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded: the tabernacle, its tent, its covering, its clasp, its boards, its bars, its pillars, and its sockets, the ark and its poles, with the mercy seat and the veil of the covering, the table and its poles and its utensils, and all the showbread. Also, the lampstands for the light, its utensils, its lamps, and the oil for the light, the incense altar, its poles, the anointing oil, the sweet incense, the screen for the door at the entrance of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with its bronze grating, its poles, all its utensils, and the laver and its basin, the hangers of the court, its pillars, their sockets, and the screen for the gate of the court, the pegs for the tabernacle, the pegs of the court and their cords, the garments of ministry for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priest. Verse 20, And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meetings, for all its service, and for the holy garments. They came both men and women, as many as had willing hearts, and brought earrings and nose rings and rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold. That is, every man who made of an offering of gold to the Lord. Verse 23, and every man with whom was found blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, red skins of rams, and badger skins, brought them. Everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought to the Lord's offering, and everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. You know, all the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun of blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. You know, all the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom spun yarn of goat's hair. The rulers brought onyx stones and the stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and the spices and the oils for the light, for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a freewill offering to the Lord, and the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done. And Moses said to the children of Israel, "See, the Lord has called us by name, Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribes of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge and all manners of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. And he had put his heart in the ability to teach in him Aholibib, the son of Esmishirach, of the tribes of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraving and the designer of the tapestry maker in blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine linen, and of the weaver, those who do every work and those who design artistic works." Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you tonight again, we're grateful, we're thankful for this opportunity to once again just gather in your name. We pray that you will help us, Father, to be free from distraction, that we might truly hear the words that you would have for us to hear concerning your word today. Lord, may we be moved closer to you. Father, for these next few moments, I pray that you would use me as your messenger, that you and you alone truly would be lifted up, and Lord, that you would draw all men unto you, that we might see in the way that you would have us to see, and that we might follow in the way that you would have us to follow. So Lord, bless our time as only you can, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now I know that was a pile of scripture, but that was talking about the instructions that God was giving the people of Israel in regard to giving an offering for the building of the tabernacle. Now, you know, why is it that you think God wanted the people to give for this instead of just providing everything for himself? Now notice with me again, if you'll look at verses 4 and 5, it says essentially that Moses gave to the congregation, the children of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying," and it's what he said. Verse 5 says, "Take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, and bronze." Now, a lot of people would sit back and say, "Well, this is the Lord's house, and you know, the Lord is supposedly the owner of a cattle of a thousand hills. Why didn't the Lord just say, 'Here's the stuff, go and do. I think this is a very, very important point, and I want us to keep this in mind as we continue to go through this passage in regard to the building of the tabernacle. God has, He did then, He has in the past, and He will continue to want His people, God's people, Christian people, to participate in the glorious things that He is wanting us to do. There are also some tests that can come along the way. God has asked us, are we being faithful stewards of what He has blessed us with? Now, that does include money, but it doesn't just include money. You know, when we think about that, first of all, it does mean our wallets. It means the provision that God has given to us. You know, He has allowed us to have the jobs that we have, to provide the resources that we have to be able to purchase the groceries that are on the table. Are we being good stewards of that? You got to remember that God asked for us to return to Him the tenth. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. He says, you bring to me a tenth. That's what we're going to find out as we continue to go on. This is what He told the people. He said, you give me the first tenth, the first crop. Give me the first of what you have. And I can promise you I'll make nine tenths go further than ten tenths. And God has shown up, I know in my life personally, many, many ways. You cannot outgive God. So it does concern money, but it also concerns our talents and abilities that God has given us. Are we using those and maximizing those for His benefit? Not for our benefit, but for His benefit and for the benefit of the kingdom of God. You know, if God's given us the ability to sing, are we utilizing that for His honor, for His glory, to sing in our church, to sing and lift up our voice in praise to Him? If He's given you the ability to teach, are you teaching or leading that Bible study, that Sunday school class, that prayer group, whatever it may be? Are we truly utilizing the gifts that God has given us to maximize those to His potential? Now, in this particular place, yes, certainly God could have said, here's everything you need to complete the temple, but He is asking the people to participate in something that He wants to do. He wants us to have a stake in it as well. So we see that in verses 4 and 5. He says, go to the people and tell him, tell the people, we're going to take an offering, essentially for the tabernacle or for the Lord's house. Now God says in verse 5, He says how He wanted His people to give. He said in verse 5 that He wanted them to give with a generous heart. Now, when you think about the word generous, what does that mean? Now, some people would sit back and say, well, you've been awful generous. You know, you were a generous tipper, at the restaurant, or you have given generously. In other words, in a great amount, not just sitting there saying, well, how much can I give till this doesn't hurt? It's, how much can I give to see this cause go forward? He says God wanted the people in that day, according to verse 5, to give with a generous heart. And today, in 2022, God still wants His people to give with a generous heart. Now, I mentioned before, that's not just your money. That's your time, your tithe, your talent. That's so many other things. But as you're giving, are you giving generously? Or are you just trying to get by with as little as possible when it comes down to your giving? You know, so many times we see children and we will tell them we want them to share. In other words, what we're asking them to do is to be generous with someone around them. And have you ever done that before? And you told your child, well, why don't you share with your brother or sister? And they sit there and they maybe pull one of whatever it is out and hand it to them. They've got this whole box over here. You know, no, you want them to be able to give with a generous heart. And that is what God was commanding the people to do then, to give with a generous heart. Okay. Why is it important, for God and His people to have a generous heart? Well, others are looking, number one, but number two, I believe with all my heart that God is still testing His people. He's sitting back saying, I have given you so much, and when I ask for it, you have to understand that everything that you and I have is God's. We are just stewards of everything that He has. That includes your bank accounts. That includes your home. That includes your car. We are just the caretakers of God's stuff. I always like to use that word, God's stuff. I am simply a caretaker. So when God wants to utilize His stuff for his kingdom, then that means that we should be ready to relinquish whatever that is in a generous manner by which to complete what it is that God wants done. Okay, so it is important for God's people to have a generous heart and to be those generous givers when it comes to what God has commanded for each and every one of us to do. Now, when we think about that, what kind of things were the people being instructed to give in verses 5 through 9? Let's take a look at them. Verses 5 through 9, the things that they were being instructed to give. It says this. It says, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord. Gold, silver, and bronze. Okay, now pause right there for just a minute, because that starts off with some high dollar precious metals, gold, silver, and bronze. Now, I like how that verse also said this, whoever is willing. You know, are you willing? When the Lord puts it on your heart, which we're going to come across that in a minute as well, are you willing to be able to give in a generous manner the gold, the silver, the bronze that God has blessed your life with? He goes on in verse 6 and he says this. He says, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair. Verse 7, ram skin dyed red, badger skins and acacia wood, you know, oil for the lights and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate. Now, and that the stones that would be set in the ephod and the breastplate, that was for the priest, and that was the garment that God had described and prescribed for those that were the ministering priest to wear. And it had the 12 stones in it. Okay. So he's giving out this list. He's saying, here is what I want you to give. He says, I want you to go to the people and say, these are the things that we need, you know, for the purpose of putting the tabernacle together. So just go ask them, and whoever is of a willing heart, you know, I want them to bring these things down. Now it says, in verse 10, it also called for some skilled craftsmen. Okay. Verse 10, look with me if you would. Verse 10 says this, it says, all who are gifted artisans among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle, its tent, its covering, its clasp, its boards, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, the ark, meaning the Ark of the Covenant, and its poles with the mercy seat and the veil of the covering and the table and its poles and all the utensils and the showbread, and also the lampstands for the light and the utensils, its lamps, and the oil for the light, the incense for the altar, its poles, its anointing oil, its sweet incense, a screen for the door at the entrance of the tabernacle and the altar. Yeah, it goes on. It's just giving this list. It's almost like in construction, what's called a takeoff. Here are the things that are needed. Now, not everybody there could fulfill every one of those items. Yeah, different people had different things. There were some that had gold and silver and bronze. There were those who didn't. There were those who had the fine linens that were needed, and others didn't. There were those that had the different colors of threads to be put together to make the cloth that was needed. Not everyone had those. You see, folks, it took everybody functioning and working together in a heart and a spirit of generosity for the Lord's work in that day to see something great be accomplished. And the Lord was giving this big list. Here's the list of the things that are needed based on what I have commanded you, to be able to make this happen. And as he goes on, he talks about the skilled craftsmen and what they are instructed to do. Now, some of the people, he called and he said, okay, look, I need you to bring me some gold. Now, I may have been a person that had some gold and I'm, you know, willing to bring it in there. I don't know what to do with it, so I bring it down there. And then the skilled craftsman would take that and he would create it into what it was that God wanted to be a part of that tabernacle. So even though I might have had the raw material, I might have had the gold, I didn't know what to do with it. It took a skilled craftsman's hands to create it into a useful vessel to be used in the service of the Lord. So the Lord said, you know, here's what I need. If you have any of these things, you bring them as an offering. And then what we will do is we will have the skilled craftsmen make them into what they need to be made into to function in a way of worship pleasing to God in the days of the tabernacle. Now, there were different kind of skilled people that were involved in the construction of the tabernacle. Not everybody knew how to do all those things. So it took those who knew how to sew. It took those who knew how to do construction. It took those who knew how to work with precious metals. It took those who knew how to fashion and cut stone and all those things. But they had to have something to work with. Everybody had an opportunity to give. Everybody had an opportunity to be able to bring something to the table. I believe that that holds true in this day and age as we continue to go forward under the auspice of the church. Everybody has something that you can bring to the table. You might not have the skill to make it into what it needs to be, but you've got the raw material needed to be able to make whatever that is. Now, I'm speaking in a manner in keeping metaphorically with what our passage tells us today, but yet there are so many other things. You know, there's a lot of people that that God has blessed with finances, okay? They're really good with finances. They're not public speakers. They're not preachers. They're not out there teaching Sunday school classes, but God has given them a blessing of an abundance of financial resources. So what they need to do is say, what are the financial resources that are needed to push the kingdom forward? And that might be sending a couple of teenagers to camp. That may be taking care of a need that needs to be taken care of. And although you may not be able to do it yourself, you might have been able to be the one that provided the funding by which to see it happen. So it's still, it did in the days of the tabernacle, and it still today takes every one of us working together. You know, there are some that are skilled craftsmen, as we think about our passage today. And then there are those who provide the materials. Maybe you're the craftsman. Maybe you're the one that has these things to be able to provide, okay? But there were many different kinds of skilled people that were involved in the construction of the tabernacle. So everybody had a part to play, regardless of whether they were skilled labor or not. And the same holds true in the church in 2022. Now what happened was an offering was asked for in our passage. You know, we've got that part. He says, the Lord said, you go ask the people, anybody who's willing we're going to take up an offering. Okay. Now I can imagine what it's like sometimes when people sit back and they're like, everything was great until all of a sudden they said, we're going to take up the offering. And I got a bitter taste in my mouth or what have you, okay? So let's consider how the people responded to that request. Look, you guys come down, bring an offering. Let's look, verses 20 through 29 tell us what the response of the people were. It says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. That was verse 20. Verse 21 says, then everyone came whose heart was stirred. Now, that's critical. I want you to remember that. Let me go back and read verse 21 again. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meetings, for all its services, and for all the holy garments. And it says they came both men and women, as many as had a willing heart. Do you see what keeps coming up in that particular passage? Those whose hearts were stirred, those who were willing, those who had a willing heart. Now, we talked before about what it meant to be generous. And the Lord says that he wants his givers to give generously. Now, in those verses 20 through 29, we see some phrases like hearts stirred, spirit moved, willing heart. What does this say about the attitude of the people toward giving? Now, I want you to consider it for a moment, because you know what? We've done that. We do that in our churches today. You know, whether it's part of a building program, whether it's the tithe or the offering. Remember, we're going to cover that in just a minute, and give me just a second, and I'm going to kind of define the difference between those two. But do you have a willing heart? I mean, when you look, let's just say that you're at church and it's time for the offering. And by the way, that is a worship event in a service as well. You know, we don't just do it because we got to pay the bills and keep the lights on. It is an act of worship because the Lord commanded us to give back to Him the tenth. And since He commanded it, when we do that in a service, this should be an act of worship in the same manner as reading His word, as praying, as singing of the hymns, as lifting our hearts to Him. Do we really look at taking up the collection as an act of worship in our day and age? Well, if we don't, it is. Now those phrases, that heart stirred, spirit moved, willing heart, says a lot about the attitude of the people toward giving. In other words, the Lord touched them in regard to do that. They were obedient to what He commanded. Now, I want us to go to verse 29 for a minute because I want to explain this situation about offering. Go look with me at verse 29, where verse 29 says this. It says, "The children of Israel brought a free will offering to the Lord. All the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work, which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done." Notice what that said. This was a free will offering. Now, that wasn't just to keep from being repetitious when we talk about the tithe. You heard me talk about the tithe just a moment ago. The tithe is the tenth. The tithe is what God commands us to give. Let me ask you a question. Are you being faithful to give the tithe back to God in what He has blessed you with as far as your paycheck? Are you? Now, again, some of you just got mad. Some of you just crossed your arms. Some of you just huffed and puffed and blew a little bit. And some of y'all just said, that's none of your business. Well, maybe it's not any of my business, but the question goes back to whether or not you're being faithful to God in returning to Him the tithe. It is His. It is all His. We're just simply being a steward. Now, I also want to throw this in. If we can't be faithful to give God back the tithe on what He has so truly richly blessed us with, then why would He ever trust us with any more? You know, there are people all the time will say, "Lord, give me more." Whether it's out of greed or whatever, they'll say, "Lord, just give me more. I promise I'll do good with it." You know, well, let's go back and ask the first question. Are you being faithful with what God has blessed you with now so that He might bless you later on with even more? That's a tithe. Now, this offering wasn't called a tithe. This was called a free will offering. So what is a free will offering? Yeah. Now, I want you to consider it. If you're part of our church family and you attend services here at Central Baptist Church, then you've heard us ask the Lord to bless the tithe and the offering. You may have heard us say, I'm asking our ushers to come forward as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering. In other words, we're giving back the Lord's tithe is that tenth that we're giving back to Him. Okay. That's the Lord's tithe. That's non-negotiable. We're supposed to be giving that by command anyway. And our offering, that is anything that's over and above that tithe. Okay? So this says in verse 29 that they were calling for a free will offering. That didn't mean that they could go down there and say, "Well, I'm going to donate some of my bronze or my silver or my fine cloth or my thread. And because I did that, then I don't have to give my tithe anymore." No. An offering is over and above your tithe. Now, let me put that into some 2022 terms, okay? Around here, we've just recently come through a season that we receive an offering called the Annie Armstrong Easter Offering. It keeps our North American missionaries on the field in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Now, here's the thing. Even though we set a goal and we take that offering, folks, you are not supposed to be taking away from your tithe to give towards a free will offering. Now, are you starting to understand the difference between a tithe and an offering? A tithe is the tenth that the Lord commands us to give. An offering is anything over and above that we give. So, you know, when we are in church in the storehouse, as is referred to in the book of Malachi, when the offering plates are passed and you give the Lord His tithe, that's His 10% back. But then if you wanted to give to Annie Armstrong, that needed to be something different. That needed to be an offering, a free will offering over and above what your tithe is. Does that make sense? Now, some of you for the first time just went, oh. Some of you just growled a little bit. And some of you said, well, I'm still going to take my offering and just put it into the missions offering. Listen, that's between you and God. But I remember what I said before. Can God trust you with what he's already given you? Are you being a good steward of that? Because he's not going to give you more until you can first show him that you can be trusted with what he's already given you. So now do you have a better understanding on the difference between the tithe and a free will offering? What was being asked for in our text that we're looking at today? According to verse 29, it was a free will offering that was being asked. So that's how a free will offering and the tithe are different from one another. Now, in verses 30 through 35, there are two gentlemen that are called by name that have those Bible names that are really, really hard to say. But they were given some spiritual gifts that God had given them to be used in the construction of the tabernacle. You'll find them in verses 30 through 35. We mentioned a moment ago that to some people, God gives talent and ability to be able to do certain things. Now, everybody didn't have that talent and ability to do that. So they brought the materials. They would give them to the craftsmen. They would give them to the ones who had the gifts to be able to turn them into what God wanted them turned into. And you know what? Church today is no different than it was back in that day. That's what we're being asked to do. You might not be able to teach the Sunday school class, be the preacher, or do all these other things, but God has asked you and granted you the ability to support those who do, to provide the resources for those who do. I had somebody ask me at one point, and they said, you know, what do you really need me to do? And I said, you know what? I said, I just need you to fill up that Sunday school class. You know, and you know what? This person took it upon themselves to actually go round up children every Sunday, put them in their automobile, bring them to church so they could be a part of that Sunday school class. And you know what they said? There's not much I can do, but I can drive. Well, let me tell you this. That made a tremendous difference in the lives of those children. Because as I think way back, every one of those children came to know Jesus in the Sunday school class, that somebody cared enough about that child to pick them up and get them to that Sunday school class. Somebody cared enough about those little boys to teach that Sunday school class. And because of that, it all culminated in the fact that they came to know Jesus and the kingdom of heaven grew because somebody was willing to use their car to pick a child up and bring them to church. There are so many areas, so many facets where we need to be working and serving and using our gifts for the Lord. Okay. Now, when we think about these gentlemen that are mentioned out, there are people that you can probably think of in your life that have some really interesting spiritual gifts. They are gifted in some special ways that can be used for God's honor and for God's glory. Now, a minute ago, I posed the question to you, how did the people respond to this command? You know, most people don't like it when the preacher stands up and says, look, we're going to take an offering. We've got this project. How much can you commit? How much are you willing to be able to put toward this so that we can see God's kingdom enhanced? And sometimes we get, you know, people get mad. Listen, people leave churches over things like this. I can't believe they're asking for more money. It's all about money. No, folks, it's not all about money. Let's first of all talk about the fact of whether or not you've been obedient in giving your tithe. I like what a preacher had said before, his old country preacher. He said, never have I ever offended a tither when I have preached about tithing. You know why? He said, the only people that get offended are those that aren't doing it, those that aren't being faithful. Listen, whatever shoe fits, you wear it, but allow the Lord to draw you close to him. Now, how did the people respond? When the offering was called for, to build the tabernacle. I want to go over to just a minute over to Exodus chapter 36 and begin with verse 2. But Exodus chapter 36, beginning with verse 2, tells us, you know, how the people responded. It says, then Moses called Bezalel and Aholibah and every gifted artisan whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and to do the work. It says, and they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him free will offerings every morning. Okay, so how the people responded? They're bringing in every morning more stuff as part of this free will offering. Then verse 4 of Exodus 36 says this, "Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, saying, 'The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do.'" Did you get that? They came and told Moses, they said, "We've got too much material here." You know, whether the guy that was fashioning the gold into the utensils, he's got, "I got more than enough gold. I got too much gold. I've got too much silver. I've got too much bronze. We have too much cloth. We have too much." Listen, when's the last time a church said, "We've got too much money"? I don't know about you, but you don't hear that very much. But it says, look, here, so what do we need to do? They went and they spoke to Moses in Exodus 36, verse 5, and said, "We've got more than enough. We've got too much to do the work that the Lord had commanded us." So what did Moses do? In verse 6 of chapter 36, it says, "So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, 'Let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary.' And the people were restrained from bringing." Do you realize what that verse just said? Moses just told all the people, look, don't give any more to the free will offering. We've got more than enough to do what we need to do with. Could you imagine a church coming and saying, "Look, folks, we need to stop taking up a collection because we've got so much money, we can't figure out enough ministry work to do to apply that. You know, we've got so much, we've got a surplus. You know, y'all stop giving." Now, obviously, we wouldn't say that because the Lord still commanded the tithe. But when it came down to this free will offering, Moses went to him and said, "This is enough. You all have given more than what is needed and called on by God to get the job done." Wow. Can you imagine that? Think about that for a minute. So the latter part of verse 6 says, "And the people were restrained from bringing for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, too much." They brought too much. When's the last time that we brought too much to God? When is the last time we gave too much? Now, I've heard this said, and I believe it to be true as well. If every born-again believer was a scriptural tither, then churches would have trouble finding ministries to apply those funds to. It's sad when we think about that. But you know what? The Lord also said this. He said, your heart is where your treasure is. So where's your treasure? Where is your heart? Is it really in your bank account? Is the giving you're doing being done out of surplus? Have we really given to a point where it actually hurts? Where we have done any sacrificial giving? Let me make you a promise. If God is stirring your heart, if God is leading you to do that, then I want to encourage you to take His challenge, because you will never outgive God. I've tried it on numerous occasions in my life. It cannot happen. If God tells you to utilize His money for something that He's entrusted you with, you go on and do it. And I will promise you, you will never miss it, or somehow it will come back around. I've seen it happen. I've experienced it happen time and time and time and time again. So the question is, are you really being faithful? You don't have to answer me. You don't have to answer Preacher Roy. You have to answer God. And God already knows the answer to that question. Have we been faithful to our tithe and our offering? Remember, there's a difference between the two. You know, the people essentially at this point had done so well and given so much that they were commanded, look, stop, we've got enough. You know, we've always talked about, as we go through our scriptures, to find an example to follow. You know, there are tons of examples to follow. In our instance of our text today, the people of Israel are an example for us to follow in how they responded to God's call when God said, I want you to take a free will offering for the building of the tabernacle. Yeah. How's it gone for you? See, that's what we did when we had our building program some 12 or 13 years ago is no different than what took place right here. You know, we felt like this is what God wanted us to do, to utilize for His honor and for His glory. And you've risen to the occasion. You've done some incredible things over the past 12 years that are God things. You know, we want to continue to see God do that. You know, Israel's a good example to follow when it comes down to our giving, and particularly in this text. You know, so let me ask you this question. Would you consider yourself a person with a generous heart? Yeah, sometimes that's a hard question to ask. I mean, some people can sit back and say, no, I want to be, but I'm not. Yeah, would you consider yourself a generous heart? Because see, the opposite of generous is selfish. Would you consider yourself to have a generous heart or a selfish heart? Is it more about, I'm going to take care of me, and I've got this taken care of over here, and everybody else can fend for themselves? Or are you generous enough to sit back and say, I'm going to share with those who don't have, I'm going to give? You know, it's ironic that I have actually witnessed this with my own two eyes, you know, particularly when it comes down to those that are homeless, those that have nothing. I literally have watched homeless people share with one another, those who don't have. When one would get something, they would go share with those who did not have. Yeah, and I'm sad to be able to say that I've seen those who have a lot never share with anybody in need. So, yeah, even though that sounds like an easy question, it may be a little bit tougher for you to answer than you think. Remember what the question was? Would you consider yourself a person with a generous heart? Or would you consider yourself a person with a selfish heart? Okay. Yeah, it's important for us to give both the tithe and the offering to God, and to do it out of a generous heart, because the word tells us that the Lord loves a cheerful giver, not a grouchy one, a cheerful giver. Can you really give that and say, this is for the honor and glory of the Lord? It's because God has blessed me so much. Lord, here is what I owe you on tithe. It's a command. But Lord, not only that, there's missionaries out there that are serving in North America that need your help. So here's an offering to help them out. It's over and above my tithe. You know what we need to do? We need to pray for God to give each and every one of us a more generous heart and a more obedient heart to be able to give in a manner that is pleasing to Him. I'm going to do that in just a moment. I want to go ahead and give you your Bible readings for this week. Now stay with me, because this one's a little bit different. It's not just in consecutive order, okay? So your Bible readings for this week will be Leviticus 9, 10, 16, 23, and 26. Once again, these are all chapters in Leviticus, so that's Leviticus 9, 10, 16, 23, and 26. And next week, we're going to take a look at the holy and the common from Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, you're good to us. We thank you for our time to be able to gather around your word. And I pray, Father, that you have helped each and every one of us to listen to the Holy Spirit as you have examined our hearts. Lord, that we might be honest with ourselves as to whether or not, first of all, we are a cheerful and a generous giver. And Lord, second of all, whether or not we're truly being faithful to the tithe as well as the offering as you lead us. Lord, you are stirring up our heart toward those things. Lord, may we be found obedient. Father, if we need to make changes, give us courage to do that starting right now, this very moment. Lord, help us not to even wait till Sunday, because Satan will like to come in and change our mind between now and then. Help us to start the road to obedience today. And Lord, may each and every one of us be a more generous giver, because we have a more generous heart, because we have been walking with you. Lord, give us a great week. Send us to somebody who needs to hear our story and our relationship with you, that you might convict their heart towards salvation. And Lord, we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday in the Lord's house, Central Baptist Church, 1715 Highway 68, Oak Ridge, North Carolina. God bless.